Matthew chapter 1, looking at verses 16 and 17. I want to preach today upon the subject, genealogy and grace. Genealogy and grace. Bible says in verse number 16, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. This morning, with God being my helper, I want to preach upon the subject genealogy and grace. Genealogy and grace. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, this morning, it's a privilege, it's a blessing to be in this service. And our Father, again, to rally around the opened Word of God. We thank you today for the music, the message of music that's touched our hearts. We thank you for this wonderful time of the year when we can reflect upon the fact that God became man. The mystery of godliness came into fruition. The virgin birth of the precious Son of God. We thank you for his mission of dying upon that cross, of taking care of our sin debt. And our Father, thank you today for the glorious message that Christ is alive. Now, my Father, bless this hour, the preaching of the Word of God. Speak to hearts today. I pray that you would address every need this morning, represented in every life. We pray this in our Savior's precious name. Amen. You know, there's a popular website that is very popular in this day and time. It's called genealogy.com, which advertises as its function as a way of proving what makes a person unique. You know, a trace of ancestors may prove a relationship to an ancestor that perhaps is powerful, influential. A research in genealogy sometimes uncovers ethnic background. And many people, as they begin tracing backwards, they find former relatives that were perhaps important, popular, powerful, and significant in more ways than one. Now, sometimes the tracing of ancestors, the research on ancestry can be somewhat discouraging. Some people, in tracing backwards, may find that they had a relative that may have been a moonshiner or a crook or a thug of some sort. I know of a person one time that was doing some research that was researching the ancestry, and for some strange reason, in fact, he was writing a book, but for some strange reason, he closed the book and never finished it. Now, that would probably suggest something, wouldn't it? You know, former relatives, sometimes we find had a higher position, higher status. Genealogy sometimes will trace back and will result in the finding of someone in upper echelon or prevalence in some way or sort. We find here in the Word of God, we see a genealogical record that is unlike any other genealogy. What we have here is the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning with Abraham and ending with Mary and Joseph. This genealogy shows that Jesus was Jewish in his ancestry, among other things. It also, in tracing backwards, displays the grace of God. It begins with Abraham, and it ends up with Jesus. It begins with a great man, but that great man was a sinner. In spite of the fact he was a friend of God, in spite of the fact that his name is a common name in major religions throughout this world, he still was a sinner. So the genealogy, as we see here in the book of Matthew chapter 1, it begins with a great man who was a sinner, but it ends with the incarnate Son of God, who was sinless. This genealogy includes, if you read the verses here before you, this genealogy includes a threefold division. Abraham to David, verses 1 through 6. Solomon to the captivity, verses 7 through 11. And the captivity to Joseph, verses 12 through 17. These verses are usually not considered to be on most people's favorite Bible reading list when it comes to reading, perusing through the Scriptures, because many times in reading a bunch of names, as we have here recorded, those names to many people appear boring, at least to the average reader. It's a large list of names, and many of those names are hard to pronounce at that. However, this genealogy is a story of the grace of God. Look where the genealogical table ends up. Verse number 16 again. The Bible says, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Why is this genealogy so important, we ask? Well, I would suggest several reasons. Number one, this genealogical record proves the integrity of the Word of God. Number two, it proves the faithfulness of God to His Word. Number three, it proves that Jesus Christ was very man and very God. It displays the grace of God, for some of the Lord's human ancestors, as we can see here, had checkered backgrounds, to say the least. They all were sinners, but some even stand out even greater than that. It presents the evidence, and let me give you a quote here by Dr. Walter. He said this about this account. He said, "It presents the evidence that Jesus Christ is indeed the true Son of David, the Son of Abraham, the Son of God, and the Messiah of Israel, and the Savior of the world." And how significant and how true that is. As we approach this genealogy of God's grace, let me first of all suggest this thought. Notice the record of His generation. The record of His generation. Verse number 1 of chapter 1 of Matthew, would you note that please? The Bible says the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You know, I'm thinking of two books right now. I'm thinking of the book, we could say, of the first Adam, and then I'm thinking of the book of the last Adam. The first book is a book of those that were born physically. I'm thinking of the register of physical life, so to speak. But it's a book of death. It's a book of death. I'm thinking of Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, "Because of one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, the last book, or the last Adam, if I could use that expression, is a book of those that are born spiritually, let me say. It's a book of life. Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." When I think of the first Adam, I think of a book of death. But when I think of the last Adam, I think of the book of life. It's a thrilling and a wonderful thing this time of the year to know the one that Christmas is all about. It's a thrilling thing at Christmas time to say, "I know the one that was placed upon the tree, that bore my sins in His body on the tree." Now, the mention of David in verse number 6 lets us understand that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the son of David. This also lets us understand that His credentials to reign, for even physically, He came from a kingly line. He prophetically, we know, is the line of the tribe of Judah. And the lion, of course, is a kingly animal. No one could argue against his credentials, for his human ancestry takes him back to Abraham and proves his Jewish ancestry, aligning him with the nation of Israel. His ancestry leading back to David proves his credentials, which confirm his right to the throne. I'm thinking of Genesis chapter 22, verse number 18. The Bible says, and God, of course, addressing Abraham, he said, "In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, for thou hast obeyed my voice." I'm thinking of the seed referenced there as God was addressing Abraham. I'm thinking of the seed who is Christ. I'm thinking of him today because of his finished work. Blessings certainly do result. If every single person upon the face of this earth can be a candidate for the grace of God because of the one who is a seed of Abraham that took our place upon that cross, I'm thinking of him. There's another verse. The Bible says, "Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one in thy seed, which is Christ." So now, in looking at this genealogy of grace, we see the record of his generation. But number two, could I suggest this thought? Let's notice the royalty of his greatness. The royalty of his greatness. You will notice there in verse number 16. Notice again the verse with me, please. Verse number 16. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. Now note this. Of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Notice that Joseph did not beget Jesus. But notice it says he was born. Notice beget Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. He is born. Joseph did not beget him. He is born. Born of Mary, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. My friend, could I point out this morning that everything hinges upon this very thing. Everything hinges upon that. We believe this morning in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, virgin born. Thank God this morning, yes, he became man. He was able to identify with the object of redemption, but yet he's God. He could not be tainted in any way, shape, or form with the sin of human race. Virgin born. His virgin birth. We think of his vicarious death on the cross. And then thank God for his victorious resurrection. Now, let's follow this just a little bit further here. The royalty of his greatness. Again, as I point out, notice Joseph did not beget Jesus. Joseph was of the line of Judah. And one of his ancestors, one of the ancestors of Joseph, or the line of Judah, was a man by the name of Jechonias, I would just simply point out, who forfeited the right of his seed to sit upon the throne. Now stay with me for just a moment. Jeremiah chapter 2, let me make a point here. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 30. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah." Now when we think of the Savior though, Joseph's line gave to Jesus a legal title to the throne. For even though Joseph did not beget Jesus, of course Joseph became the Mary or the husband of Mary. Now in Luke chapter 3, verses 23 through 38, we find the genealogy of Mary. And it comes through another son of David by the name of Nathan. There was no curse on that line, but Jesus was born to Mary, and that gave him the blood title to the throne. So I'm saying all of that simply to say this. Jesus has legal title to the throne of David, does he not? Based upon the Word of God. Now the record of his generation, we see the royalty of his greatness. And now, thirdly, this morning, I would point out the riches of his grace. I said just a few minutes ago, in his genealogy, it's a genealogy of grace. Genealogy of grace. Notice the prominence. In this genealogy, there are four prominent women mentioned. Four prominent women mentioned. Interestingly enough, there's something very notable about each one of those four women. Now, Ruth, we could pull her name out. Ruth, of course, was a Gentile. And of the four women mentioned, her record would have been the most unspotted, of course. But she was a Gentile. There's three other that are mentioned. You have Tamar. Tamar. Verse 3 in this genealogical record. Genesis chapter 38, verses 1 through 30. She, by the way, in case you're interested to know this, listen to this. She was an incestuous daughter-in-law of Judah. Tamar was also a Canaanite, hence a Gentile. That'd be two strikes against her, wouldn't it? What about Rahab? Rahab, Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 24. Rahab was a Gentile, prostitute, and member of a doomed race on top of that. That's three strikes against her. But isn't it amazing? Their names are mentioned in this genealogical record. What about Bathsheba? Verse number 6. 2 Samuel chapter 11 would give you the background of Bathsheba. Bathsheba, the adulterous wife of a Gentile man named Uriah. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 3. What did she do? She committed adultery on her husband while he was away at war. She became pregnant as a result of the affair and didn't even tell him what had happened. She was probably aware of her lover's plans to murder her husband to cover up the sin and did nothing to stop it. Now, the genealogy of Jesus Christ is a story of grace. Included in the genealogical records are people that have some checkered backgrounds. But I'm glad today to know that God's grace specializes in taking people that have the worst checkered background and pulling them out of the gutter and giving them eternal life. I'm glad that God related, identified with man, aren't you? But yet, understand this. The one who was born, he did no sin. The one who was born in him was no sin. And the one who was born knew no sin. God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh yes, he had an earthly mother, but he did not have an earthly father. He's still God incarnated in human flesh. The genealogy of Jesus Christ is a story of grace. It is a story of condescending love. It is a written record of a genealogy that proves that God became man. It is a genealogy of grace. For Jesus laid aside the riches of his glory and not only came down to this earth, but thank God identified with human beings, for he was born. He was born. The bio of a Christian is a story. Now think about this for just a moment. Because God, for they know the grace of God, how that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. The bio of a Christian is the bio of a person who came from rags to riches. He laid aside his riches. He left the glory with the Father. He condescended to this earth. He took our humanity. I read passage after passage. Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. assumed a position of humility as a servant in our stead. And we who are bankrupt because of sin, thank God in salvation, the riches of His righteousness is transferred to the account of a believing sinner. It's a story of rags to riches. Every saved person has more going for them. There's so much going for them, it's going to take an eternity to fully realize it. Rags to riches. You know, I can trace the genealogy of my family. And I'll stand here this morning and I'll tell you. I wouldn't be too impressed with a lot of the people that I'd find in my genealogical records as I look backward. I wouldn't be too impressed. But here's what I can tell you this morning. I can trace my genealogy back, and regardless of what I find in my family tree, I can tell you I cannot find deliverance from sin. But I can look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ and be certain that He is the Son of God, the Son of David, and I know that He will reign forever and ever. I know there's coming a time based upon His credentials that perfect government will become a reality upon this earth. He will rule and reign, my friend. He is the Son of David. His credentials speak for themselves, do they not? I especially look at His genealogy, and because of one essential truth, know that He is my Savior. What is that truth? He was not begotten to Joseph, for that would have made Him a sinner. He was virgin born to Mary, thus very God and very man. And thanks be to God for the grace that we see in this blessed genealogy. You know, regardless of anything in your life and in my life that we might perceive as a hindrance, thank God, because He was virgin born, He took care of sin on the cross, He arose victorious in the resurrection. You and I today can realize, based upon what Christ has done, we can be saved from our sin. Now, again, He came for one purpose, and that was not to simply make it possible that churches like ours could have a nice, neat, pretty little nativity scene. My friend, our hope would be banned forever if it was all about the babe in the manger. But thank God, as I mentioned this past Sunday morning, yes, the manger was occupied with the babe, but thank God the tomb would be empty, wouldn't it? And I'll tell you, between the manger and the tomb, there was the cross. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So in looking again, in closing this morning, we can say this. Based upon the glorious truth of the gospel, your background might be like a Rahab. Your background might be like the listings of other people with spotted characters found in the genealogical record. But God's not concerned this morning with your origin, with your ancestry, with your station in life, with your past sins, with your future plans, or your present state. I can tell you this morning, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I can tell you today, because the precious Son of God became man and then took our place on the cross, you today can know Him and can leave this building with full assurance in your soul that Christ is yours. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, today we give You thanks for this.